Hello and welcome to episode 807 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Sunday, February 18th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with St. Alphonsus Liguori's Sunday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain the forgiveness of our sins. Behold, O Mother of God, at thy feet a miserable sinner, a slave of hell, who has recourse to thee and trusts in thee. I do not deserve that thou shouldest even look at me, but I know that thou, having seen thy Son die for the salvation of sinners, hast the greatest desire to help them. I hear all call thee the refuge of sinners, the hope of those who are in despair, and the help of the abandoned. Thou art then my refuge, my hope, and my help. Thou hast to save me by thy intercession. Help me, for the love of Jesus Christ. Extend thy hand to a miserable creature who has fallen and recommends himself to thee. I know that thy pleasure is to help a sinner to thy utmost. Help me, therefore, now that thou canst do so. By my sins I have lost divine grace, and with it my soul. I now place myself in thy hands. Tell me what I must do to recover the favor of my Lord, and I will immediately do it. He sends me to thee that thou mayest help me, and he wills that I should have recourse to thy mercy, that not only the merits of thy Son, but also that thy intercession may help me to save my soul. To thee, then, I have recourse. Do thou, who prayest for so many others, pray also to Jesus for me. Ask him to pardon me, and he will forgive me. Tell him that thou desirest my salvation, and he will save me. Show how thou canst enrich those who trust in thee. Amen. Thus I hope, thus may it be. Today, friends, we are going to continue from Meditations for Lent by St. Thomas Aquinas. I believe this was initially published by Sheed and Ward in 1937. It could have possibly been published sooner. I mean, after all, St. Thomas lived hundreds of years ago. But this is the edition I'm using, and it's available for free online, compliments of fisheaters.com, the great traditional Catholic website. Head on over there. They have a lot of great stuff there. An anonymous woman is the purveyor of fisheaters.com. To my knowledge, she chooses to continue to remain anonymous. She does a lot of great work. So this is entitled The First Week in Lent, Sunday. Subheading, It Was Fitting That Christ Should Be Tempted. And St. Thomas begins with a quote from the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Christ willed to be tempted, one, that he might assist us against our own temptations. St. Gregory says that our Redeemer, who had come on earth to be killed, should will to be tempted was not unworthy of him. It was indeed, but just that he should overcome our temptations by his own. In the same way that he had come to overcome our death by his death. If I could jump in here for a moment, our Lord leads by example in everything that he does. He is like us in all things but sin. He gets baptized by St. John in the Jordan River. Does perfection incarnate need to be baptized? Does the truth incarnate need to be baptized? Of course not. Our Lord is holiness himself. But he's showing us what we need to do. He is the example par excellence in everything that he does. Everything he does is filled with meaning. Is rich in meaning. And he shows us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to overcome temptation. Even he is tempted. He's like us in all things except sin. Two, to warn us that no man, however holy he be, should think himself safe and free from temptation. Once again, his choosing to be tempted after his baptism, about which St. Hilary says, "The devil's wiles are especially directed to trap us at times when we have recently been made holy, because the devil desires no victory so much as a victory over the world of grace. Whence, too, the scripture warns us, 'Son, when thou comest to the service of God, stand in justice and in fear, and prepare thy soul for temptation.'" Ecclesiasticus chapter 2, verse 1. I'd also like to mention here that St. Thomas Aquinas is so prescient, and any good communicator, any good teacher, and this man is the greatest philosopher of the past 1,000 years. There's a reason why he's called the angelic doctor. He wants us to always be on guard. St. Thomas does, and of course our Lord Jesus Christ does. Just because we might have had a conversion experience, which is wonderful, and conversion should be an ongoing process, as the Bible says, and the Catholic apologist, Mr. John Martinoni, points, I was going to call him St. John Martinoni, I'm sure he'd appreciate that. Hopefully he becomes a saint, and we all become saints. But he points out, and as the Bible clearly states, once saved, always saved, which is an error within certain strains of Protestantism, which is an error in and of itself, is not biblical. The Bible tells us we have been saved as a result of baptism. We are being saved. And St. Paul says we work out our salvation in fear and trembling, and we will be saved ultimately in heaven. It's a past, present, and future sort of deal. Just because we think we've reached a certain state of holiness, then we have to be on guard, because we got to watch out for spiritual vanity, and we have to ground ourselves in the fact that everything we have is grace. Whatever we've been given, whatever talents we have, in regards to mental acumen or our physical abilities, what we're good at, the talents and the gifts that only we have, because we're all uniquely created by the Lord and we all have a specific will for our lives, things that only we can do. The Lord has a general will for all of us, which is to be saved. That's a universal will he has for all souls. He wants us all to be saved. We can either respond to his grace in that respect or not. But also specifically for our own lives, there are things on this earth that only we can do. And we'll only know at the particular judgment what specifically we were called to do. We figure that out in portion, in a small way in this life through prayer, through fasting, through the sacraments, through discernment, perhaps good spiritual direction, a holy priest to guide you. But we'll only know in full at the end of our lives. It's like how I've mentioned before to previous students, the mausoleum, the Sacred Heart Chapel, where my beloved Nana and Papa, Chester and Teresa Lolito, are buried at Holy Cross Cemetery in Lackawanna, New York. There's a very beautiful mural of the Blessed Mother to the left of where their crypts are. And when you're very close to the mural, very close to the icon, you just see splotches of color. But when you move back 6 or 7 feet, there, it's this beautiful image of Our Lady. That's kind of like what our lives are like. In this life, we're pressed up to the mural, the painting, the canvas, however you'd like to look at it. But God sees in full. He sees the whole picture, the whole painting, the whole image. He's the author of time and space, so he sees everything all at once. We'll only know in full at the end of our lives and at the end of time when Jesus comes again to judge the living and the dead. But let's not be puffed up with our own ego. Let's not be puffed up with our own hubris. Let's know that everything we have is a gift from the Lord. And just because we're not conscious of any mortal sin, let's say, we don't reach a point in this life where we won't be tempted. We'll always be tempted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. But God is giving us the grace, most especially through the sacraments of Holy Mother Church, to resist those temptations. St. Thomas continues with three, to give us an example of how we should overcome the temptations of the devil. St. Augustine says, quote, Christ gave himself to the devil to be tempted, that in the matter of our overcoming those same temptations, he might be of service, not only by his help, but his example too. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, friends, not only talking the talk, but walking the walk, right? We have to do both. Of course, he's the perfect man. He's the God-man. So he's showing us exactly what to do, because he's the perfect teacher. He's the perfect role model. I don't know if you remember that old commercial from the 90s. Charles Barkley, the great NBA player, the former Philadelphia 76er and member of the Phoenix Suns as well. And his Nike commercial, he says, I am not a role model. Parents should be role models. Well, yes, parents should be role models, of course, but really we're all role models because people are always watching us, and especially folks in the public eye. But who's the greatest role model? Who's the perfect role model? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not only telling us what to do, he's showing us what to do. Four, to fill and saturate our minds with confidence in his mercy. For we have not a high priest who cannot have compassion on our infirmities, but one tempted in all things, like as we are without sin. Hebrews 4:15. Again, he's like us in all things but sin. So we can have confidence in our mercy. St. Thomas says our minds can be filled and saturated with confidence in his mercy. I'm going to mention again my favorite pope, Pope St. Pius X, the first ethnically Polish pope. It wasn't St. John Paul II. It was actually St. Pius X because his family emigrated to Italy. So he's actually the first ethnically Polish pope. He's also just a wonderful pope who warned about modernism, and personally, of course, very holy man. He's been canonized. He had such a great devotion to Our Lady under the title Our Lady of Confidence. And he would repeat over and over, my mother, my confidence, my mother, my confidence, my mother, my confidence. We can have complete trust in the intercession of Our Lady of Confidence and complete trust in her son. I'm looking right now at a statue in my home, which was given to my dearly departed papa, my maternal grandfather, the aforementioned Chester Lolito, when he worked as a custodian at Our Lady of Victory after he was laid off from the steel plant. And the guy was, in addition to being one of the most kind human beings I've ever met, he was one of the most hardworking men I've ever met in my life. But they gave him this statue when he retired from working at OLV, and it's a statue of Our Lady of Victory holding baby Jesus, and they're both wearing crowns. We can have complete confidence in them. Can't have complete confidence in me or yourself or anyone else in this life, even those we love the most and who do the most to help us, because we're all weak, sinful creatures. There's no sin in Our Lady. There's no sin in our Lord. we can also have full confidence in the intercessory power of the angels and saints because they have the beatific vision. They are with our Lord. I refer back to that book by the Catholic apologist Patrick Madrid, Any Friend of God's is a Friend of Mine. Let's call upon the saints for their intercession, especially St. Thomas Aquinas during this time of Lent and as we're going through together on the Our Lady of Fatima podcast, Meditations for Lent. St. Thomas Aquinas, Ora pro Nobis. Let us conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune in to episodes 277 and 548 of Our Lady's podcast and share them far and wide. Those episodes and that website have to do with RPM, which is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was approximately 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now, thanks to God's grace, her hard work, and that of her family, via RPM, we know that she's a comprehensive genius who composes music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. We're so grateful for this blessing. How many folks are out there like her? Non-speakers are those with difficulty in speaking. They just need a helping hand. RPM is that helping hand. Communication is a human right. Imagine how sad and frustrated you would be if you couldn't communicate the most basic things to your family, let alone if you had a brilliant intellect and were unable to get across everything that you wanted to share. This has been as big of a breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate as sign language is for the deaf, or Braille in terms of being able to read. For the blind, it's that important. So God bless you for helping out in this endeavor. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.